That's really interesting. Tell me more. That's really interesting. Tell me more. That's really interesting. Tell me more. Because the more you can get people to tell you more, there's gonna be something in there. Like, you don't stand in the presence of somebody like Alex Mondosian. I mean, he's like the oldest living digital marketer on the planet, right? Like, I mean, the guy's, he says, like, I've made more mistakes than you've made tries. So, like, so, you know, if you're going to stand in the presence of a guy like him, you may as well just listen to whatever he has to say and just keep saying, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Because he's got more in him than the one thing that you just rejected because it bounced up against your ego and it doesn't make sense to you.
Welcome to the Three Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you three simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Hi, folks, and welcome to Three Steps to Thrive. My name is James Lamb, and every week on Three Steps to Thrive, we speak to successful entrepreneurs and business owners, and they provide their three tips for improving the business or the business owner themselves. So this week, I'm super excited to have Virginia Mooskies on. Virginia, say hi.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's good to see you, James.
Thanks. So Virginia has a long and super varied career. I'm going to read her bio here, but just be aware, even though it's a little bit longer, she is still being quite modest here. So we're going to get into all of Virginia's successes here. But I have to tell you, so on the cover art here, you know what, Virginia, you don't know this yet. I'm going to include your bio in on the show notes because I think this is one of the best bios I have ever seen, folks. So
Thank you, James.
It's something that you do once and you send over and over and over again. You might as well do it well. But it reads here, I love her photo, but it reads here, meet Virginia Mooskies, the referral diva, founder and chief connection officer at Master Connections. With more than two decades of 20 years generating business by referral, Virginia has been teaching entrepreneurs and small business owners the art and science of filling their sales funnels with high quality on-demand referrals. She calls her process referral alchemy, and when fully implemented, it can be quite literally infuse tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars into your business without a single dollar of ad spend. And Virginia, I'm going to ask you about this later. You see, most of the business owners in your network are running unconscious referral algorithms. They don't really think about someone until someone asks for a recommendation and then they drop your name. If you're lucky, you've met a couple of referral archaeologists who keep you top of mind and are willing to dig you up in their network. They're like the mental Rolodex, if you will. And then there are the elusive referral alchemists, or you can call them referral unicorns. I think that's more today. Who can seemingly make referrals appear out of thin air. Jim Rohn said, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. So if you want to hang out with more alchemists, you need to be an alchemist, and that is what Virginia can help you do. So there's a lot of stuff in there, Virginia. And I think my first question out of all of this is, you know, when we start business and as business owners, entrepreneurs, small business owners, we always think we need to advertise and pay for that advertising. Now you're kind of spinning on this head, right? You're saying basically, I don't need to advertise. I can become a referral alchemist, in your words, and I can meet all these other referral alchemists and they can send hundreds, if not thousands of referrals to me. Tell me a little bit more about that and what success stories do you have?
Okay. So I want to back up just a minute, right? And where I want to back up is this. So I focus my work in the solo entrepreneur world, folks that are hovering around their first six figure mark, you know, give or take. So some years it's 75, some years it's 103, but they never really like over the hump and get a steady six figure income. Okay. And one of the reasons that I find that that happens is largely because there are so many client acquisition tactics, right? Like, again, you should do a podcast, you should do a blog, you should do a YouTube channel, you should do a Facebook challenge, you should do joint venture marketing, you should do a product launch formula, right? Like, by the time you get done with all the shoulds, they're swimming in a mass of confusion. And the reality is, I think advertising is great. I think Facebook ads are great. I think podcasts are great. I think they're all great. But I think what's most important is to know what the right strategy is for the stage of business that you're in. And so if you're in a stage of business where you cannot consistently inject money into paid advertising, then whatever little bit of money you inject into paid advertising isn't going to get you the outcome you want, because there's a formula for that and it involves expertise and cash to make it happen. And the average entrepreneur, the average attorney, the average coach, you know how to be a great attorney, a great financial advisor, a great insurance agent, a great business coach, a great web developer, but you don't necessarily have the expertise to run the traffic that way. And you might not have the cash flow to run the traffic that way either. So you need a way to take the resources that you already have, which is your network, the people you know and the people they know, and leverage that into a paid traffic, a paying traffic strategy. But with minimal cash outlay. So yeah, that's what referrals are when they're done properly. I give you a referral, you give me a referral, I promote you, you promote me. There's this reciprocal trade that goes into creating it. And the value isn't money now, it's reciprocity.
Right. It's interesting because what's not in your bio is you also own 2 B&I franchises.
I do.
In the States. And I think it's kind of
so let me like do a correction. My husband owns 2 B&I franchises and we work together in them, but
right. Okay. That's
he likes to say I work for him.
That's fair. It's almost like a rite of passage. If you have a small business or you're an entrepreneur, at some point in time, you're probably going to have visited a B&I. At some point in time, you're probably going to have actually been a member at B&I. That just seems to be part of the process. Tell me the difference or this, you know, when I see B&I, I see it as a really good starting place. Mm-hmm. And tell me what you do. Is it kind of like taking B&I on steroids? Is that what you would do?
No.
It's almost like you take, go on.
It's not B&I on steroids. People said it's like B&I on steroids. I'm like, no, it's not, because B&I is a referral marketing organization where, you know, people get together to exchange referrals. So let me give you an example. I'm going to give you a metaphor. Let's just say you and I play chess. Okay. So B&I is chess club. We go as a newbie, as a neophyte, we go and we have our little board. We bought it at the store, but we don't know the names of the pieces, or we know the wrong names of the pieces, like the rook, we call it the castle thingy, and right, the little guy thing. We're like the little 8 guy thing, and yeah, right, we don't have the names. So B&I gives you the terminology and it gives you a certain level of strategy, right? And you learn how to move the pieces.
Right.
Right. You know that the queen can do whatever she wants and the king can only do this little bit and the bishops go one way and the mm-hmm. rooks go another way. Right. You learn all of that. And then you go to chess club to practice, to play, yes, to play the game. Okay. But if you actually wanted to get paid to play, like really play at an elite mm-hmm. level, you wanted to compete at an elite level, you would still belong to the chess club. Like you wouldn't quit the chess club, but you'd also get a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's for me. I'm even beyond a coach. I'm a strategist. So what I'm looking at is, for example, what comes out of your mouth when you're networking? Would you pay to put that in a commercial? Would you pay to put that on a Facebook ad? Mm-hmm. Would you literally pay money for that messaging? Most people say no. And I said, well, then let's craft you messaging that works while you're in your B&I meeting to get people thinking and bring you more referrals. And let's create it so I can give it to James and James can put it in a marketing strategy for you because the messaging is on point, right?
Right.
That sort of thing. So I'm not a networking organization. Master mm-hmm. Connectors is not a networking organization. It's not even a referral marketing organization. It is a referral strategy training company.
Interesting. So where do most people fall down when they do this. So they join B&I, they bring their proverbial chest set, like you said, right? They come join B&I, and then they think they got it, right? They've been doing it. Some, you know, some people do it for years and years and years, and they're saying, you know, I'm not getting referrals. And then the thing at B&I is to always be introspective, right? Be like, well, I have to take accountability for what I do wrong. But maybe, you know, tell me the one mistake that a lot of people make at B&I or with referral marketing. And I'm going to add some context to this. So a lot of people try, and this can be translated to affiliate marketing too, right? You go and you meet somebody and you say, you know, we'll do these things and it'll go to your list and it'll go to my list and we'll be able to get, you know, more contacts that way, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of these things fall down. Where do they fall down?
So I'm going to answer that question in two broad strokes, because one of the things I want to make really, really clear is obviously I believe I believe 150 billion% in the B&I model. I believe that their program is exceptional. B&I has put out a tech platform. It's a trifecta tech platform that is like mind-boggling for people to learn and track and improve themselves as business owners. I think it's a brilliant thing, and I've been with them for 20 years, okay? So in B&I, people who join B&I, I think the biggest mistake they make is they don't take advantage of everything that's there before they start whining, before they start saying, this doesn't work, I don't get referrals. Well, I'll tell you what, have you gone to Member Success Program? Have you gone to your Regional Success Leadership Summit? Have you been in the B&I University platform? Are you educating your brain on the topic? Are you implementing what you learn? Right, like there's so much to do at that basic level that can be done in the B&I without ever needing a coach or a strategist. B&I provides a lot of that support and strategy, right? So I think that's the number one thing. Just on the general referral side, it's the belief that referrals are free and unpredictable and effortless. Because if you believe that they don't cost anything, you don't have to do anything to get them, and they're completely random, then you don't put a strategy in place, right, that makes sense. So for example, if you have a fundamental belief that Facebook ads don't work, or you post a bunch of crap on Facebook and you never get business, so Facebook doesn't work. Well, no, what you did on Facebook didn't work, but somebody out there is killing it using Facebook. Somebody out there is killing it on TikTok. Somebody else is killing it in Instagram. They have a comprehensive, well-aligned strategy for how their word-of-mouth marketing and how they build their relationships drives and influences their digital presence and all the other things they do as well. And so it's about getting that alignment with everything. So there are a lot of people, too, that just say, I can't do the structure that I need to do if I'm in B&I, because B&I is kind of like taking a master's degree. You got to go to school every week. Like and you have homework every week. It's sort of that model. And so some people just, that's not a model that is good for them or they want. And so what I do is I train them in the strategy and then help them implement strategy into their business that aligns all of their digital strategy with all of their referral strategy, their in-person, what I call social capital. Right, they align their social cap, what they do with their social capital, with what they're doing in other strategies.
Okay, tell me about being a referral alchemist. So, are you talking about turning them into a referral alchemist, where people send them referrals all the time, or they're able to conjure up referrals for other people all the time, or both?
Well, it's got to be both, or else you know, if it's better to give than receive, where does all the receiving go? Right. And the number one problem that solo entrepreneurs face is most of them are very giving people. We're talking coaches, consultants, holistic practitioners, marketers have a huge creative heart. Right. We have people that really, really, really want to help other people and have time freedom and have financial freedom. So that they can do the things that they love and have their priorities in line. And so unless you've created a system by which we can be reciprocal, which means I pour into my network and my network gives back to me, then it's not going to work. You're just going to be a giver. You're going to give into a void, right? Mm-hmm. And so giving is the easy part of the strategy. Attracting, influencing the referrals back towards you is the more challenging part of the strategy. And that's where referral alchemy comes in. So number one, if you are, this is sort of the Jim Rohn thing, right? If you mm-hmm. are with someone who's a referral algorithm person, then that's who you're gonna be, which is basically an order taker. Do you know a marketing guy? Yeah, I know James. Do you know a referral lady? Yeah, I know Virginia. They have to ask, and then you go, yeah, I know somebody, right? And if that's where you're hanging around, then you're doing a lot of wait and see. Like, I'll just, mm-hmm. it's the hope and pray method. Like, okay, I'll just go networking and hope that someone gives me a client, right? So hope and pray method. When you get to archaeology, it's, I like you enough to look through my network and see if I know a couple of people that maybe you want to know. That happens yes. a lot in the JVology community and the JVIX community, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people are in a room and they're like, oh, have you met? Do you know? And because people are asking for what they want, talking about what they do, and we start connecting dots, right?
Yeah.
But an alchemist is somebody who does the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing. So yeah. If you give me a few minutes, I can tell you a story, but I don't know how much time quite we have
sure.
today.
Yeah, so, by all means, go ahead.
So a podcaster that I met, I was on my show, and at the end of my show, I say, I make it my business to introduce the people I meet to the people they want to know. Who do you want to know? And he named a pop artist. Mm-hmm. And the reason was because he had a lot of respect for him, because he started out like busking in subways and stuff, and then turned into this like massive pop artist. So I was like, okay, that one I'm going to work on. First of all, I like the music. And mm-hmm. second of all, I'm going to work on that because that one sounds interesting to me. So years ago, Alex Mendosian and Steve Ulcher did a process called push button influence, and I was in their beta. And so I started using that strategy to kind of make my way to this pop artist. So I followed him on Twitter and started interacting with his Twitter handlers, right? Mm-hmm. And he posted a picture of his little girl. I posted a picture of my grandbaby. And I said something like, hey, if you guys are ever in the Lou, let's do the zoo. Like, let's yes. do the zoo thing, Mr. Pop Artist.
Yes.
So I did a couple of things. Then I researched a little bit, found out he had a charity. And so called the podcaster and said, he's got these two charities. Which one would you be more likely to donate to? So I donated $50 to this pop star's charity in the name of the podcaster. And I said, mm-hmm. hey, at Mr. Popstar, Mr. Podcaster yes. just donated to you on my recommendation. I think what you're doing is really cool. He agrees. So I started sort of fostering
right.
that. Yes. Then I started asking my friends. I have a friend who knows, like, he's in the improv place, and he knows Laura mm-hmm. Hall, who plays improv music.
Yeah.
So he called Laura Hall and he was like, do you know this person? And she was like, no. Do you know anybody who knows the person? No. So I had him working on it. Called a guy that has a ton of friends in Vegas. He called all of his Vegas impersonator friends, and the guy said, well, when he becomes lame and we impersonate him, well, then maybe we'll know him, right? Like, but no, we're not impersonating him right now. So nobody knew him. So I started working that. So then none of these angles was really producing fruit until I tweeted, hey, are you ever gonna, whenever you're in the Lou, let me know. I want to come to your concert. And it just so happened that the pop star was going to be in St. Louis in July for our July 4th big thing under the arch. So I get on the train. I go into St. Louis to the fair, and I'm going to try to get backstage. So I'm trying to pimp my way backstage. They keep like stopping me. Like, and I'm like, dang. So I had resorted. I had my backup plan, which is a paper airplane, which said, hey, this podcaster really wants you on his show. I've been at this for months. Throw a girl a bone, you know, yes. call his people. Have
Super
your people
cool.
call
yeah.
his people. Right? So we get there. I'm in the tween mosh pit, and like, I can't get in. So I pitched the paper airplane. Paper airplane does not land on the stage. It lands in front of the stage. So I'm like, shoot. So I take a picture of it and I tweet it. And it says like, hey, pop star, look down.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the end of the set, a roadie jumps off the stage, picks up the paper airplane. 3 days later, my podcaster guy gets a call from his people. I have no idea what happened after that.
Yes.
Right. Except this one thing. I'm telling the story on stage, and this friend of mine says, I don't know why you didn't call me, you know I'm a veiled prophet and I'm in charge of the entertainment. I totally could have walked you backstage. I was one degree of separation, but I didn't know it. Right. So funny. I did all these machinations when I had a person right here, but I didn't know that about him. I didn't know he was in the Veiled Prophet Society. And they're the ones that organized the Thayer St. Louis. And so that's alchemy, right? It's when you have so much fun that you'll just like, poof. I mean, I made a referral out of nothing. There was nothing there. Right. So that's alchemy.
That is so cool. What a neat story, right? The most unbelievable part of that entire story from start to finish was the fact that you're a grandmother. I cannot believe you're a grandmother. That's just not even fair.
I am. He's 2.5 and he's flipping adorable.
Yeah, there you go.
My little heart, my little king buddy.
I have a challenge for you before we go, and I'm just going to mention it right now. I would like an introduction to Amy Porterfield. That is my challenge for you. So I'm going to leave.
Okay.
That
well, when you come on my podcast, you can ask for her, and we'll work on it. Because my guests help me.
Okay. Awesome. Now I'm going to ask you one question, and then we're going to get to your three tips. But you have a wealth of information, and that's pretty apparent, which is amazing, right? And you're willing to share it, which is also fantastic. Where did you learn this?
3 decades of trial and error.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, I probably the most significant moment, like the window, was I had just like racked up a bunch of credit cards in a direct sales company thing. And my husband found out and it was like, you know, ditch that, get a job or, you know, I'm out. And so I went and got a job and I got hired on at a Sylvan Learning Center franchise to be their director of contract services. The guy who owned it owned like 7 locations.
Yeah.
And Congress had just authorized No Child Left Behind. And so we had $0 of like a $29 million opportunity, but the mom and pop shops were killing it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And this guy could not figure out how to get in. Well, I have an education background and I have a direct sales background and I'd been in B&I. So I understood transfer of influence and that sort of thing. So first year I go out and I stand on street corners with flyers and go, hey, do you want your baby to go to Sylvan? Hey, you want your baby to go to Sylvan?
Oh my goodness,
and, you know, East St. Louis, Illinois was littered with my flyers. And we barely cracked 6 figures that year. And I made no money for all that effort because it was commission, right? And the commission was like 3% or something ridiculous.
Yes.
So I made like $3,000. For all that effort. Something had to change. So he was trying to use his advertising stuff and, you know, all the paid advertising. And it was the wrong strategy for the market. So what I figured out with the help of a mentor was that I needed to create strategic alliances with people that had influence with the kids and their families that we wanted to tutor. Because as a PhD, educated, upper middle class white woman from New Jersey, I had a lot of strikes going against me in the urban environment, right? Like there was really not a lot of trust. And I meant well, and I really was, you know, I wanted to help. And I've always been, my passion project is prosperity creation and poverty eradication. So like this was important to me. It was an important, it was important work. So what I ended up doing was creating a coalition of folks who served my target markets in different areas in other ways, like healthcare, food pantries, education ministries with churches. And so I created a coalition of those folks, and we all started sharing our excess resources. So imagine like this person has a copier, that person has toner, this person has paper, no one can make copies. But if we all share that stuff, then we can all make copies, right? We can all get something we need. So I started showing them how to share excess resources in a way that got everybody more traction and moved everyone's mission forward. And by creating that coalition, I was able then to borrow trust. But the key was asking them for what I wanted. And I found out that you can't ask for everything because they were also getting supported by other people, not just me. And since I couldn't provide them with all the support, I could provide them with part of the support, I had to ask for a part that corresponded to my contribution. And in doing that, then everything kind of ramped up from there, right? So that's really where the strategy got developed. And then in 2011, I opened a coaching franchise. I bought a coaching franchise and started looking at their curriculum with my experience. And that kind of, that all got melded into what is the referrals on demand strategy that I teach. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing though, huh? It's interesting that a lot of the times you find your purpose when you're kind of at your lowest. I don't know if you would call yourself at your lowest at that point in time.
The credit card thing was the lowest.
Yeah.
That, you know, and then that got backed up by 2 years of, we're not making money. It was like about a 3 year period of just banging my head against the wall and feeling like I couldn't get ahead. And then when I went to this mentor and said, you know, am I just destined to be a terrible failure in business? She was like, oh, shut up. Like, come on now. Right. Like, don't be stupid. You're just doing the wrong things. You're doing the right work with the wrong people, or the wrong work with the right. You're just doing something messed up. So when we really looked at it, it was like, you know how to borrow influence. So go figure that out. Right. So that's what I did. And the cool thing about that, by the way, which was what made me realize that I could coach it, was I ended up with a team of nine district managers whose job it was to recreate my strategy in as we expanded. I was like, okay, now go to this market and recreate this strategy. Create the council, borrow the influence, blah, blah, blah. So then I taught like nine people how to do it. And the reason that I got into coaching was my mentor said, she owned the B&I franchises at the time. And she was like, could you teach people how to do that? Cause like not everybody knows how to do that. And what you're teaching is not what we're teaching. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's complementary, not competitive, but it's different.
Yeah.
So that's when we opened the other franchise. And that's kind of how all that came about.
That is super neat. I know I always said we're going to get 3 points, but I want to ask you another question as well. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because like we talked about, it seems like a lot of people find their fire at their lowest point. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, here's a tip for you listeners. If you haven't maxed out your credit card, go and buy something fun. You might as well go and buy something fun, max out your credit cards, and then figure out what it is you're supposed to do. How important was your mentor? So your mentor gave you confidence. Your mentor pointed you in the right direction. If you hadn't reached out for help, where do you think you would be, or how pivotal was that?
If I hadn't reached out for help, I certainly wouldn't have opened the first tutoring company, which was a franchise, and that franchise no longer exists. And I wouldn't have the company that I am now, and I wouldn't be helping entrepreneurs to the level that I am, because the whole thing would have just turned to poop, and I would have just probably, my boss was totally happy with what I was doing, right? Like, he was very happy. I wasn't happy. And so I would probably still be there, mm-hmm. or I'd have gone back to teaching.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't, because I think if you're going to be an entrepreneur, and I think this is really key. So most people are really good at what they do, but they're not good at the market and manage it part. They can make it, they know how to make their widget, but they don't know how to market their widget, and they don't know how to manage the business. And so, entrepreneurship, if you're going to be a healthy entrepreneur, humility has to be at the core of who you are. And the whole notion of when you're in corporate America, showing weakness is the worst thing you can do. Not knowing, not having a question, having a bad day, being depressed, having challenges at home, like any sign of vulnerability or need for help is often just the opening somebody else needs in the corporate cutthroat environment to, like, you know, have your stuff end up, take your corner office, right?
Yeah.
So people learn in corporate America to armor up quite a bit. And I know that there are companies that are trying to make a shift from that now, but I still think that mindset still exists. So you come out into the entrepreneurial world with this, like, I can't be vulnerable, I can't ask for help, I can't get my needs met, I don't know what I'm doing, but I have to figure it out, and you never will. You just won't. You've got to hire a coach. You've got to invest. You've got to get a mentor. And the difference between a coach and a mentor is that a coach's job is to shorten your learning curve, and you should pay handsomely for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let shorten and level out your learning curve. A mentor is the person who picks you up, dusts you off, and says, get back on your bike. Right? Get back up. Get up. Quit your belly aching. Get up. Figure it out. They're your greatest cheerleader, and they don't do it for nothing. And what they do it for is they tend to be in the give back stage of their life, of their business. And the one thing that mentors loathe. So when people ask me to mentor them, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to throw you a bone. I'm going to throw the ball. You're going to bring it back. You don't bring me the ball back, I'm not talking to you. Right? Because I told you what to do. I told you to get up. I showed you how to dust yourself off. I told you exactly what you need to do. At least go try it. If you do it wrong, or right, come back and say, I tried it. Here was my result. We can work with that. And I'm happy to do that. But when I say, did you go get the ball? And they're like, oh, you know, my foot hurt and I couldn't remember how to tie my shoes. And I'm like, because I'm not getting paid for this, people, right? I'm doing it for the joy of watching you succeed. That's why I'm doing it. It's for the karmic paycheck. So if you want me as a mentor, then you need to give me my karmic paycheck. If you want me as your coach, then you need to write the paper check.
Yeah.
So that's that, and they're both really important. Really important. You know?
Which one's harder to find?
On your mindset, and it depends on how you. I think they're easy to find either way. You just have to know what you want and have clarity, and then they show up.
Good, amazing. It's a big part of growth, isn't it? Being growth minded and being open to criticism. You know, one of the, you know, I think Virginia and I spoke, what, 2 weeks ago, and you said, what you're doing is completely wrong. Tear it apart and do it again. And she was right.
Well,
she was absolutely right.
That. I think I said, you know, you might consider tearing it apart and starting over.
She said in quotation marks, you might consider, she's basically throwing the ball and saying, asking me to fetch it, and I'm fetching it and bring it back. Right. But sometimes it's a challenge. And, you know, team, to the listeners, I know sometimes it's hard because it's scary when you ask for help, because some people might telling you you've been doing it wrong. And that means you need to change, and change is difficult. But, you know, it's usually for the better. Right, Virginia?
Yes. And hold on a minute, because I want to do this one caveat. So just because I said it doesn't mean you should do it. Right. If I said it and you do it and you bring it back, then I'll re-engage, right? But if you think that woman is batshit crazy, that's okay too, right? So there were, I was in that shark attack thing, right?
Yes.
And there were some things that, like, people said that I wrote them down. Like I wrote down what they said, but I still, to this moment, I'm like, I do not know where their head was at when they were telling me that, like, I should create a corporate certification program, blah, blah. And I was like, why are you, like, to me, I was like, okay. But I learned from Mary Kay Ash a very long time ago that when someone's giving you an idea, they're sharing a perspective, if you fight back, then they won't give you another perspective. And there, it might be the 10th thing they say that you go, oh my God, that changed everything, right? So just because someone ahead of you on the curve, or just because they say it, doesn't mean that they're right. It just means that's how they see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that's really important to understand.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, right? You know, they say, you know, there's a couple points here and they're a little bit random, but they say that you should only have, you know, two mentors at most, because any more and the message gets lost, because one mentor would do one thing, another one would do another thing. But you're right. And I think there is value in having people give their opinion and not trying to justify your position out of insecurity, but just taking it inside and kind of mulling it over, right? I think there's some type of responsibility of being a little bit growth-minded and open-minded to these things that come across. Because let's face it, a Shark Tank? It's Shark Tank, yes?
Shark Attack, I think Shark Attack. Called it. It's like, whatever. I was so tired and not in a good place.
But in Shark Attack, you know, how much, you know, it's almost like you're in a hot seat. That's sort of the equivalent of what's happening.
That's what it is,
yeah. But how much consulting and idea, like how much is that worth? Like it's got to be worth thousands of dollars. And you want to get the most out of that you can.
Right.
Yeah.
And the easiest way in those moments is just, that's interesting, tell me more. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting, tell me more. That's really interesting, tell me more. That's really interesting, tell me more. Because the more you can get people to tell you more, there's gonna be something in there. Like you don't stand in the presence of somebody like Alex Mondosian. I mean, he's like the oldest living digital marketer on the planet, right? Like, I mean, he says, like, I've made more mistakes than you've made tries. So you know, if you're going to stand in the presence of a guy like him, you may as well just listen to whatever he has to say and just keep saying, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Because he's got more in him than the one thing that you just rejected because it bounced up against your ego and it doesn't make sense to you, right? So it really, and sometimes it's hard, not going to lie. I mean, after that, there were 10 people firing stuff at me. It was so overwhelming that I like drank a glass of wine and cried. After it, because some of it was kind feedback, some of it was strong feedback, some of it was bizarre feedback. Like it was so cognitively dissonant for me that my brain just shorted at some point. But it still is important that when people are willing, people that have been there, people that have business acumen and experience, and they've been where you are and they've gotten to where you want to go, you've got to shut your mouth and listen. Hardest thing to do, right?
Yep. Amazing stuff.
But it's important.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with me, by the way, and our listener. That's incredible. I'd love to talk to you more about this. So listeners, I think we should vote for a second interview with you and drill down a little bit more, because there's so much stuff there, right? And you start talking about the ego, you start talking about the mindset, you start talking about opportunity, but you have to, you know, there's all these things that we can talk about, but we are running out of time, and that's totally okay because the show has been amazing. Tell us about your three tips to either improve the business or the business owner. Now, just a reminder, team, three steps to thrive. We always ask the successful entrepreneurs to give their three tips. And these are always practical, actionable, and simple. And just a reminder, you know, I intentionally leave this ambiguous. So she can talk about mindset. She can talk about habits. She can talk about what she knows. So let's throw the floor to you, Virginia. What are the three steps to improve either the business owner or the business?
Okay, this will do both. So first thing is, to define your tribe. And what that means is get clarity about who you are and what you stand for and what people who think the way you do call themselves. So really get specific. So a lot of people will call it a target market. For me, it's not. It's a tribe, because you're going to create a movement. So define the tribe specifically. Anybody who fogs a mirror is not a good client for you. Decide, is it divorced moms? Is it puppy parents? Is it Harley Davidson riders? Is it physical therapists? Is it lawn care specialists? I don't care, but you need to say it, and someone needs to raise their hand. And a lot of people need to say, that's not me. And we're really afraid as entrepreneurs about the people that say, that's not me. And we don't pay enough attention to the people who say, I'm in, right? We want everybody to want our stuff. They don't. So find the people who most want the stuff that will most follow you and most trust you as a leader. That's number one. Number two, develop yourself as a leader. Become a trusted authority to that tribe, and make sure that your messaging is authentic and empathetic. And by what I mean by that is, once I say my tribe is solo entrepreneurs, right? Pre-scale, solo entrepreneurs. The problem they have is not enough money and not enough time to enjoy it, right? They're stuck on a cash flow roller coaster, a revenue roller coaster. So I understand their pain. So you've got to speak to their point of pain. I'll give you an example. One of my clients, Jenny, is a direct sales coach. And Jenny was talking about, like, I'm going to help rock star direct sales moms build a team so they can experience affluence and stay present in their children's lives, mm-hmm. something along those lines. She couldn't get a client. And I said, that means they don't want what you're saying. And she said, what do you mean? I said, they don't want to build a team, or they would raise their hand, right? You're talking directly to direct sale, rockstar direct sales moms, but they won't raise their hand for, I want to build a team. What do they want? And when she started thinking about it, when she was a rockstar direct sales mom before she became a coach, she wanted to go to Paris. That is all she wanted to do. She wanted to win the freaking trip. And that's when she built the team, because she couldn't go to Paris unless she had a team. So she started saying, win the trip, win the trip, win the trip. Now she has a six-figure coaching practice helping direct sales moms win the trip so they can show their kids what successful looks like and while she's present in their lives. Okay. Amazing. So she's modeling success. And so that's the thing. But when she understood what the direct sales moms wanted, what they called it, building a team became a mechanism, not the goal, not the objective. Okay. So you need to know what is your tribe's objective, and you need to speak to it the way they speak to it, call it what they call it. Third thing, you got to stop doing it alone. And you've got to show up in your authentic, vulnerable self and start asking for help. You need to ask for referral help. You need to ask for marketing help. You need to buy help. You need to get help. Bottom line, because you can be the solo owner of that business, but you will never be successful if you are the solo everything in that business. You don't have the expertise, and there are not enough hours in a day. There's not enough energy in a body. And all that will happen is you will sacrifice your kids. You will sacrifice your family. If you're single, you'll sacrifice your love life. You'll have no love life, no personal life. You'll get fat. You'll get adrenal failure. And this will feel like crap. And you'll be like, I'm going to go get a job. This entrepreneur thing sucks. And it's all because you're so committed to doing it alone and so afraid to be vulnerable.
That's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, in many ways, we've been taught to kind of there's this thing in the background where a lot of us learn, persist till you win, endure, do mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And a lot of that, it doesn't mean you're not asking for help, but a lot of people see this, I need to do this alone, and I need to figure out alone, and this is the way it's going to be. And it's not about that, right?
No, and there's not a single entrepreneur that's done it. There is not a single person that stands at the head of a company and says, I built Virgin Mobile by myself. He did not. Microsoft wasn't built by himself. Apple, yes, it started in the garage. Ivan Meisner started in his dining room. He didn't have a global company. He didn't even have a vision of a global company, right? 73 countries, 270,000 people. He didn't have that vision. He started as a solo guy with an idea and some friends. But at some and some friends, because he mm-hmm. had to do it with people. He had to do it with people. You cannot run your business without people.
Awesome. Yeah. Where did Masters Connector start?
Where did it start? It started mm-hmm. in September of 2017. It was simply the concept of the company that I'd had, mm-hmm. I was no longer a franchisee of that. And I had a non-compete. So I mm-hmm. hung out for 2 years and created, you know, just worked on creating content and that sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. Worked with my husband on the BNI franchise, building the BNI franchises. And then a lot of my clients were like, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? In fact, I had a guy that paid me $297 a month for 2 years while I was in my non-compete, because he wanted to stay grandfathered in when I opened Amazing. Up my new company, because he knew I was going to start charging five figures.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. Yeah. Cool. All right. That's amazing. So again, those three tips, and I'm going to throw the floor back to you. Just summarize those three tips again that you talked about.
Define your tribe, be an empathetic, trusted authority, and build a team.
Awesome. Team, that was an amazing podcast, and I'd like to invite you again for a future one, because I think there's a lot of stuff there that we can dig mm-hmm. into, and a lot sure. of learnings that people can have. Tell us before we sign off here, what's any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners?
Thoughts I'd like to share with, well, I do have a gift if there uh-huh. are listeners that want to do that, and that is that if you want to know more about those three tips, The first chapter of my book, Referral Alchemy, is available on my website at masterconnectors.com/ebook. And you can download that and learn a little bit more about it. Mostly just stop going it alone and get a strategy.
Right. Okay. So that's a great gift. Is there an easy way for people to connect with you, Virginia?
Through the website, masterconnectors.com. And, you know, all my freebies are there. There's a place where you can put in information, schedule an appointment, whatever you need to do. So it's all on masterconnectors.com.
It's an amazing opportunity, right? And if anything we've learned is sort of the theme of this, of what we're talking about, is don't go it alone, right? Mm-hmm. And if you need somebody to point you in the right direction, Virginia, I'm sure, is more than happy to point you in the right direction for sure. So like we spoke about, don't make the mistakes I've made. Don't make the mistakes that Virginia made, and let's shorten that curve, right? Team, Virginia, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. So thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Thank you.
Team, you know, we want more entrepreneurs to listen to what successful business owners and other entrepreneurs have seen and their tips. The easiest way for that to happen is if you could review the show. If you could give it 5 stars, the show will go out to more people and we can support even a greater number of small business owners and entrepreneurs. Because let's face it, small business owners make the world go around. So thank you again, Virginia. Thank you, listeners, for listening. I really appreciate it. And same place, same time next week. And looking forward to talking to you then.
Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week and have a great few days.